Welcome to Chat About, sponsored by Bemidji Chrysler Center and Honda of Bemidji and First National Bank Bemidji. Joe Boudreau joins us to talk about the 18th annual Sanford Health Nimiituin Powwow coming Thursday to the Sanford Medical Center. Joe's got all the details on today's Chat About. First of all, Joe, welcome to the show. And secondly, what does Nimiituin mean?
It means dance.
Okay.
Yes, so we switched it up a little bit because we know that this isn't a powwow per se, as a lot of us know what powwows are like. So we thought we'd do a little bit more of a explanation of what we do in powwows, and one of them is, yeah, we go there to dance and sing. So we decided to just call it dance.
So this is the 18th annual one. I did not realize this has been going on that many years. It's at Sanford.
Yes, it started out off and on. There was a smaller celebration, and it was a former Native advocate that he was from Red Lake, and he had good relationships with the hospital, the folks up there in Red Lake, and they wanted to honor the healing and the workers at the hospital. So they had a smaller event. Well, you know, flash forward to 2023. Now this is, you know, it's huge. You know, we get anywhere from 800 to 900 people on average. We prepare for 1,000. Who knows, you know, maybe this year we might hit that capacity.
What is it that Sanford feels is important about doing this and working with the Native community?
So, good question. For myself, what I feel, being a longtime Sanford employee, I've worked there since 2004, it's bringing community together, you know, having an event where we get to see, and I don't like to use the word showcase, but be able to show how things are done when we celebrate in Indian country, you know, with the singing, the dancing, the regalia, and, you know, having a meal, a feast afterwards. It always makes me so happy to see people come together like that, you know. And of course, you know, we do have that, we do this because we want to honor the healthcare workers in our area.
I think it's really interesting, and I think it's also very positive to see some of the changes. You know, I think back to things I've read about in the past when there was a significant effort to dampen Native heritage and to just kind of make that go away. But there were some fighters, and now, you know, we know there's Anishinaabe language classes going on, and we've got these showcases, not just at Sanford, but kind of throughout the area. And from your perspective, it's probably great to see those things.
Oh, yes, definitely. Even since, you know, I grew up in this area, you know, coming from the Leech Lake Reservation. I was born there, but enrolled in White Earth. Moved away, grew up in the cities, and came back and start realizing, you know, that very thing, that there was, you know, we were still thriving, but it was not quieted, it was not prohibited, which actually back in the day it was. People could not practice their spirituality, their ceremonies. It was pretty much against the law until the 70s.
Yeah, and here we are in 2023, hoping that there's maybe 1,000 people at this event, which is coming up next Thursday, correct?
Correct, yeah, definitely. I'm hoping if we see 1,000, that would be great. And, you know, if we run out of food, I always say we'll find a way. I was joking around here a couple of years ago, we'll run to McDonald's, get for sandwiches.
Well, it's Thursday, August 17th, and runs noon to 6. So what all is going to happen throughout the day?
So this year, we've changed it up a little bit. We are going to feature quite a few vendors this year. Off and on over the years that I've been involved, we've had some vendors. A lot of them are informational booths from different programs in the area. We'll have those. But this year, we're going to probably have some food vendors. So we do know that there is a vendor that's coming that will have fry bread. Because people always ask us, where's the fry bread? Well, if you remember, a week ago, we just fried thousands of pieces of fry bread.
Yes, you
for
did.
For a different cause. And so we usually don't do fry bread. So, but we'll have other, you know, there's people there that will have, I know there's another one that's probably going to have some specialty teas, and we have a lady that comes and she does cotton candy. No, she can't make it on site, but she makes enough for that day. Okay. I'm excited to see who the other food vendors are. Now, we have our final committee meeting this afternoon, and we'll kind of shore up who's coming, but I want to take a peek to see who's coming to, you know, have the vendors. And, of course, artists. We have artists. So we kind of have maybe a 50-50 ratio of informational booths and then the food vendors I mentioned, and then some people that will be selling their crafts and their arts, which is the talent is just amazing. We have our festivals here. We just had the Anishinaabe Art Festival here a few weeks ago. Just the talent, you know. So I'm excited to see who's coming.
Yeah. Okay. Well, they register at 11. We have a grand entry at noon. So what happens at a grand entry?
So the grand entry, as tradition would have it, is the dancers all line up. And so when we do powwows and do events, we have somebody that, you know, we'll have an MC. His name is Daryl Narpert, and he does a really good job. He's also very, in a way, teaching people as things go on about the different dances, the regalia, information that people probably don't know. And then we have an arena director. So when the go is given and everybody lines up on the east end of the arena, our arena that we will have under the tents there, and then at that time when the MC says bring them in, they'll start dancing. And we always, the very first dancers that come in will be the honor guards. So that's another very rich, very amazing tradition, is to have the honor guards come in with their flags. Sometimes they'll have their staffs with. And so we have, I think, all of the reservations' color guards coming, and they'll come in and march with the flags first, and then the different dancers will come in. They'll have the MC will direct men's dancers come in, and then the women dance will come in, and then they surround the outside of the arena. And I've just heard why that is that when the women dance around and gather around the arena, then that makes it secure and sacred.
Okay. Then you have dance specials.
Yes.
And is that like a competitive thing, or?
Well, not for our powwow. There are such things as contest powwows, and those are just amazing because people come from all over. It's not about making the money, but being able to, hey, I know how to dance, and I'm going to do my best, you know, and I have this regalia. And it's amazing to see in a contest powwow a lot of people coming out, you know. But even the powwows that we have and yet to come up this year yet, in the rest of the month of August and September, are some fascinating powwows. So we have men's traditional, there's the grass dancers, the ladies' jingle dress, and then we'll have the fancy shawl. And then we have for kids, you know, toddlers and stuff like that. So you'll see little kids running around. A lot of times they'll either do traditional dances, if I can remember, or grass dance. And to see the little guys do the grass dance is really fun. It's one of my favorite things to see that. So that's what's meant about the different traditional dances. And then they'll have specials so that when the MC decides, it'll be either one of those traditional dancers, like the men or the women.
Okay. Then we have the prayer and traditional feast at 4:30. What does that entail?
So the prayer will be given by a spiritual advisor. So we have a spiritual advisor. The arena director and the MC both are able to do that. But we always want to make sure that we give thanks, bless the meal, the celebration before we go on. And then we're going to honor some of the healthcare workers to come up and have them be in front of the crowd and the arena and stuff like that to pay special honor to them.
Okay. Now, Joe, you are a peer recovery specialist, so tell me a little bit about that. What is it you're doing every day at Sanford?
So kind of exciting for me. This is a new role. There's been There's been roles similar to that, but so I work for Center for Behavioral Health in the Substance Use Disorder Services.
Okay.
And so our behavioral health department and system has really grown in the last several years. And then within that, we have our programming for people who have substance use disorders. And one of those positions that came up, and I've really found in the last year or so since I've had the position, how much peer recovery is important when people are struggling with their addictions. Because when they're done with programming, then what? You know, the support is 100%, you know, needed. And it's, you know, for me, I know because I have the lived experience. That was one of the prerequisites and one of the qualifications for having this job is having the lived experience. And so, which I do have that. In July of 27th of July, it was 26 years since I had put down the alcohol and have been living free since, you know, and it's all according to my faith. Many consider it a miracle because when you can get over that, those addictions, it's very powerful. So our substance use disorder services have different programming. We have groups for people to see the counselors, the licensed addiction counselors, and then we have some co-occurring therapists that do therapy and addiction counseling too. So it's, you know, we're really taking off. And, you know, I want to, you know, honor and pay some homage here to the fact that we have that and the recovery pieces, the peer recovery pieces. My idea, and I'm glad I'm on the radio now because being able to say this. Another day, I'd like to come and talk about our peer recovery movement that I'd like to see happen here, a peer recovery alliance, because we know the addictions, we know the crises that are going on here with opiates, mainly fentanyl, and there's still alcohol. There's still people struggling with alcohol. So I believe it needs to be a community approach and gather around people because we all know somebody that struggles with drugs and alcohol. And so we do a program called Wellbriety, and it's called Red Road. It's a 12-step program, and with the Native perspective and spirituality, it's still practicing the 12 steps as Alcoholics Anonymous does, but it's with the long, long teachings that some of the communities had in their lodges and their councils and stuff like that long, long ago, because as we know, back in the day, the struggle was with alcohol. And so there were some people that decided, well, we have these principles. Let's use them. And, you know, here we are, you know, in modern times that the 12 steps are still being utilized and they work. They're for everybody. I've come to believe that it's a standard and some principles that can help people guide their way in a lot of different things. But like I said, Wellbriety is not just getting sober, but living a good life, you know, taking care of the mind, the body, the soul, and the emotions.
Well, Joe Boudreau is a peer recovery specialist, as we just talked about, from Sanford Health. He's also telling us about the 18th annual Nimiitawin, the powwow, the healing power of heritage, next Thursday, the 17th, from noon to 6, and that's right at Sanford Health Complex, right?
Correct, on the west end, across the street from the ER entrance. You won't miss the big tents. Yeah. They'll be going up the night before. And so we start registration at 11. We ask vendors to come between 10 and 11 so we can get a spot for them and get lined up. But, yes, it's coming up.
All right. Joe Boudreau, thank you for being here today.
You're very welcome, Kev. Thanks for having me.
Chatabout has been sponsored by First National Bank Bemidji and the Bemidji Chrysler Center. Busy week on Chatabout next week. We'll have Tara Hokov in to talk about the women of Bassa's upcoming August Academy. Bemidji Fire Chief Justin Sherwood will be in to talk Bemidji Fire Department stuff. We'll have a preview of the Beltrami County Board meeting. Superstar Danelle Anderson will be in to talk about the United Way Autumn Hoopla coming up in October. You can be a part of it. Jason Riggs, Beltrami County Sheriff, is in next week, and we'll wrap up the week with His Honor, Mayor George Prince. It's all coming up next week on Chatabout. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening.